You are listening to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. And now, here is your host, Medros.
Welcome back to another episode of All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. Thanks a lot to Jen from Hyper Nonsense and Inside My Head podcasts for her awesome opening to this episode of the show. I was going to record an episode of All Things Azeroth for the 2.4.3 patch, but then I realized that the Worldwide Invitational was coming up in the day that that hit and now, and I thought that it'd be best to just wait a bit because there might be some more information coming out of that event. In fact, I thought so strongly that there'd be new information coming out at that event that I woke up at 4 a.m. just to tune into the stream from Paris. First point I'd like to make, the stream sucked. Absolutely sucked. I was trying to tune into the high-res stream, and it kept cutting out for me no matter the fact that absolutely nothing was going on my computer to cause that problem. I had one window open, which was for the stream and nothing more, and my system was completely unusable. I was in Blog Azeroth chat, and I had to rely on somebody else to fill in the blanks of the stuff that I didn't get to see. But let's first go into the 2.4.3 patch, and then we'll get into the tidbits and the information from the Worldwide Invitational, which was held in Paris this past weekend. The 2.4.3 patch is an interesting patch. It's not a huge content patch. There's no new dungeons, there's no new rep factions or anything like that, but there's some changes that are definitely worth mentioning. The big one is that mounts will now be available at 30. That's the apprentice riding, the first slow land mount one, and the cost will now be 35 gold to train that. That is down from 90 gold before, and it is a significant improvement, I think, over the previous levels of riding and costs associated with that. I've heard some suggestions that this might be due to the fact that they're planning to change in Wrath the level of the epic riding to 50 instead of 60, and maybe the normal birds will be going down to like 65 or something, but that really doesn't matter for this discussion because that's speculation for the future. We'll see what happens with that when it actually hits. Other things is that the NPC Harris Pilton, who is listed as a socialite, is going to be gaining the ability to sell a few things, such as a 22 slot bag. But now get this. The cost of that bag? 1,200 gold. Blizzard said they're bringing in more money sinks. I guess now we know they're right. There'll be a new non-combat pet coming in this patch. It'll be the Netherray Fry. It's a little Netherray non-combat pet. This looks really cute. I've seen it in the public test realms. I would actually get one. I plan to get one for both of my Exalted Skyguard characters. There's a variety of different changes coming for different classes. Nothing super great. I think hunters are really concerned about the growl and the pet aggro that's coming in this patch because they're changing how that works, what different things affect that, and it's going to be a little harder, I think, for their pets to get aggro, but that might mean that we might actually see pets usable in instances, whereas right now, if I bring my hunter into Karazhan, I am told immediately to put my pet away and don't think about bringing him out until I'm done the instance. Personally, if I'm a hunter and I don't have my pet out, I'm just a guy with a bow, and that makes me feel pretty damn useless, but maybe that's just me. There's a couple of things coming on the profession side of things. Philosopher's Stone will now require level 200 in alchemy. The return of green quality gems to mining nodes will be coming in the patch, which will be a great thing for me because I actually talked to a GM about this in a post that I posted up on the From the Abbey to Outlands blog, and I just felt that it was odd that I hadn't received any green gems and I'd received a bunch of blue gems, and that was at the time confirmed to not be a problem, that they were still in there, but this patch tells me that they're not in the drop rate of the mining nodes. But the blue gems will not change in their drop rate from those nodes either. Tailoring is going to get a few different things. The cooldown from regular mooncloth is being removed. There will be new 28 slot herb bags, and there will also be some new tailoring patterns from a guy out in the Steamwood Port in Teneris. There's a number of other different things to do with quests and dungeons and raids. Magister's Terrace is getting a lot of tweaks to make it a little easier for people. It should be a lot nicer for people to actually go in there without having to be Kara-geared and higher to do the instance. I'm not going to get into all of the changes. There's going to be some improvements to the GM ticketing system. There's going to be some of the new time management features that were leaked out of the alpha test that'll be coming into this patch. There's a bunch of other changes coming. I'm not going to go into all of them, but just check out the patch notes. I'll link them into the show notes of this episode of All Things Azeroth. just before the Invitational began, Blizzard announced that they are bringing out something called the Blizzard Authenticator. It is essentially a little key fob. You press the button and it generates a 6-digit code. You enter that code along with your username and password into the World of Warcraft client, and at that point, you're then authenticated by various means, at least one of which cannot be keylogged, because that number that it generates expires every 60 seconds. Basically, every minute, you get a new code. Therefore, I think this will make it a lot easier for players and for Blizzard to try to either minimize or reduce the amount of keylogging and hacking that goes in the World of Warcraft. Now, those things became available today as of this recording, which is Monday the 30th of June. My problem with these, and the only problem I have with them, is that they're not available for shipping to Canada right now. I am Canadian. I pay money just like the Americans. I should have every right and every ability to purchase this that everybody else does. It really, really aggravates me that I cannot do that. And I'm really baffled as to why Blizzard is unwilling or unable to do this at this point in time. I'm sure that there's some reason, but their people, when I called their billing line, had no idea why this was. If you're going to have people answering your phones, give them the answers they need. You had to imagine that people from Canada would be wondering why they couldn't purchase this authenticator. They get hacked just as much as those from the United States, just as much as those from Europe. And if it's available in the European market, and it's available in the US, I see no reason and no logical purpose why it would not be available in the North American market in Canada. And I'm just really baffled about this. I'd love an answer from somebody from Blizzard, other than, I don't know, maybe it's a distribution thing, maybe it's a security thing, and we don't know. Sorry about that. That's not a good enough answer for me, and that's not a good enough answer when a Canadian account started getting hacked because they can't get this authenticator. I think Blizzard should answer these questions now, get this out of the way, and if it's a legal reason why this can't be done, find some other distribution method, because if you can't send it outside of the US, why is it available in Europe? That's my only question. That said, there's a lot of people who are upset because Blizzard is not giving them the chance to get it for free. They want this thing for free. They pay their $15 a month. It's Blizzard's property, their account. They just want Blizzard to protect their property and so on and so forth. Well, honestly, folks, it's your account because you pay the money for it. It's their copyright. You've been the one who put the time in. You are the one who decided to create an account. You're the one who decided to play the account. You got your characters to 70 or 50 or wherever they sit at this point. If you can't put $7 in when Blizzard has found a great, high-tech, and highly secure method to secure your account, all due respect, but you don't deserve security. I'm not able to do it because I'm Canadian. You, on the other hand, don't have that excuse. You're not able to do it because you're cheap. That's your problem, people. And I know everybody that I play with, that I've talked to, that has half a brain on their shoulders, knows that this is a good measure and it's a very cost-effective measure. $7 is absolutely nothing compared to re-rolling your account, spending all that time to get all that stuff again. How many times do you have to go through dungeons, instances, Kara, all the raid dungeons you go through just to get all of that tier 6 epics you have? Because they're not going to let you into BT in the greens that Blizzard's going to give you back. In the end, do something for your own account. Do something to help yourself, because Blizzard's not going to do it all for you. If you disagree with my point of view, I'd love to hear it. You know where to find me, allthingsazeroth.com. I have a nice long little piece on my from the Abbey to Outlands blog that's at allthingsazeroth.com/medros. Go there, check it out, respond, comment, as long as your comments are not anonymous, because I will not accept anonymous comments. As long as your comments are constructive and not attacking me, but attacking my ideas, my points. If you do things right, if you do it all properly, I will happily give you a soapbox on my blog. I will allow you to post your comments, and I'll approve them, as long as you don't break those rules. I'd love to hear your perspectives on this, and I'd love to start a conversation about the idea of two-factor authentication in the World of Warcraft, and it coming to gaming as a protection against account hacking and keylogging. Because honestly, folks, people are out there, they're trying to steal your accounts, they're trying everything they can to steal what is rightfully ours. We should fight back, we should do something about it. But we can't do something about it if we can't seem to agree on a method and a format to do so. Now let's move a little towards the Invitational. So this thing was held in Paris Saturday and Sunday. The opening ceremony started my time at 4:45 a.m. I had to be up for work anyway, so I'm not overly upset that I was up that early, because I would have been up anyway, just a little bit later in the day than I was, maybe an hour at most. My complaint, my problem with this, is that I had hoped that Blizzard would do something in the opening ceremony that I was up at an awfully early time to do with World of Warcraft. And they didn't. They did nothing to do with World of Warcraft other than shoutouts to World of Warcraft support staff and mentioning how many players they had, which is 10 million players and growing. I already knew that, Mike. All due respect, you told me nothing I didn't already know. What they did announce was Diablo 3. I have played Diablo 2. I have played Diablo. I have played Diablo 2 expansion, Lord of Darkness. I love the games. I love the new Deckard Cain journal that they did with the narration by the guy who does the voice of Deckard Cain. It looks awesome, sounds awesome, and I'm really excited about it. But I didn't get up that early. I didn't go to bed early. I didn't do all this stuff just to get Diablo 3. I wanted World of Warcraft stuff. What I was hoping for was maybe a beta date, maybe giving us a cinematic, maybe. Though I saw a post on a WoW Insider today saying basically that even the Burning Crusade one didn't come out until December, which was released in January, so about a month beforehand. I would like to see more. Now, that was before the panels, so, you know, I went to work, and I was disappointed. There was a lot of stuff I was hoping for that I didn't get. I was hoping for, you know, more World of Warcraft in that opening. The stream sucked, like I said before. Apparently the stream sucked the entire time the conference was on. I didn't notice because I pretty much didn't listen to the streams or watch the streams at all after the poor performance they had during the opening ceremonies. But I'm told they're even worse than the other stuff, like the panels and stuff. I was hoping to see more screens, more information, more revelations about World of Warcraft. So when I got to work, I went on to WoW Insider, and lo and behold, the developer panels had some decent information. And let's get into that now. The first one was a class panel, and it was an interesting one. I'm not going to, probably I'm going to go through most of these anyway, but the overall impressions I got were pretty decent, though apparently the audience there was not overly happy about all of this stuff. Death Knights, they don't want them to be pigeonholed like other classes have been. You know, paladins must heal, priests must heal, druids must tank or DPS. You know, paladins cannot be ret, paladins can't tank, priests can't DPS, and all this other stuff. They don't want those stereotypes to apply to Death Knight, they want to break other classes out of their stereotypes. Though I think that'll be a lot harder to do, because they've already been established for almost 4 years now. So, I think it's a great plan, but a plan is all it is at this point. At this point, the runes that the Death Knight will use will have a 10-second cooldown, and the description they gave, and this is, of course, paraphrasing on WoW Insider, was that the spell Armies of Undead are meant to call masses of undead, reminiscent of how Lich King Arthas would have done so. Hunter, Steady Shot will not clip auto shot. Pets will have their own talent trees, losing the point system they have now, and pets will have a new ability called Cornered, where your pet does an additional 20% damage when they're at 20% health. Mage will get a Frostfire Bolt so that they have more viability, and they'll compensate for the loss of crowd control exclusivity by ramping up the mage damage output. There was a question asked of the developers in the Q&A section, and the question was, will hunters be getting more pet slots, and will there be more pets available? Well, we knew there's going to be more pets available. They're not going to give us more cats. They're going to give us different styles of pets, different colors and different skins and different looks to pets. My question, and is still a question, is slots. I want at least one more slot. I'd prefer two more slots, but I would take one. Because honestly, hunters have a bond with their pets. If you don't play a hunter, if you don't have a level 70 hunter, or at least a 60 hunter at least, you don't know that. Because to you, a pet is just an additional format of damage. It's just something to add to the hunter. Hunters bond with their pets. They have a connection to them. I know hunters who still have the first pet they ever tamed. I know a hunter who still has their ghost cat from Ashenvale. So players who don't play hunters don't understand this, but hunters don't want to give up a pet they're sentimental with. My 70 Night Elf hunter, Amelind, has a pet named Maldorian. Now, of course, this pet, the skin of this pet is new for level 70, because it's the cat up in Skedis that he tamed. But, you know, besides that point, there is a connection, because I've had Maldorians, you know, dating back, his skin just changed. And I just credited that to changing because of the temperatures he was going in. You know, when he was in Teneris, yeah, he was a more pale color because he was under the sun a lot. While he was in Winter Spring, he was more white because, you know, there's more white in there. And there's less clouds. And he's kind of matching with the background that he's in. So that was where the logic came from my pets. But I've had Meldorians, or a cat named Meldorian, for a long time now. And, you know, I would like to not have to get rid of him. I would like to have him keep up with me. I've got two birds in my stable right now because I don't want to get rid of them. I don't want to get rid of my white Hedwig, but I also don't want to get rid of my striped bird either. That one's probably going to have to go when the expansion comes, unless we get more slots, because there'll be no way to gain new pet skills to learn new pet abilities with three pets, because you have two slots in your stable, and you have one slot is the pet you have with you. But moving along, priests will get three new spells, at least. First is Divine Hymn. If anyone strikes a person with this spell on them, they enter a trance. Dispersion reduces damage 90% and regens 6% of mana per second. It's a 51-point shadow spell for turtling. And Guardian Spirit is a castable pet that will follow the target and absorb the next killing blow the target would have died to. Druid, and this is absolutely amazing. There will be no removal of Cyclone diminishing returns due to cast length and duration, but roots will now be usable inside and outside. There will essentially be no place other than maybe the air that a roots will be able to be used. We already know, of course, that the druids will get the revive ability, which is a non-cooldown out of combat resurrection spell. No word whether any other resing classes will get an in-combat resing, but we'll see on that one. And also get a buff called Flourish, which will be dependent on how many hots there are on player. Shamans will have their totems become a more raid effect, and they'll also get a new spell called Hex, which is a short duration, half-second cast, 8 to 10 second duration, crowd control measure. Rogues will now be able to use sap on pretty much anything with a skull and a brain inside of it. So humanoids, beasts, dragon king, demons, the whole thing. Paladins will get more itemization, so they'll have more choices of gear, and they'll share the itemization with DPS warriors and death knights, so there'll be more cross-class sharing of gear. The warriors will be more like the Warcraft 3, and as well, they'll also be getting a ability called Titan's Grip, which is allowing the dual wielding of two-handed weapons. I know a lot of warriors who are planning to respec for that ability because that is going to make their DPS absolutely amazing, I would think. Though I would imagine Titan's Grip will also probably lower the amount of DPS that their weapons will do by a small fraction, but that's just my guess, of course. The Q&A panel that they had right after the class panel was less specific, though there were some things that I wanted to highlight. The last 2.4 patch will be the last pre-Wrath content patch that'll be released. There will never be a Gnome Paladin. The Stormwind Harbor that will begin to be created in the 2.4.3 patch will be leading to a place called Northwind, which is rumored to be up in Northrend, a version of Stormwind up there, or a human settlement up in that area. The Death Knight will have a newly cleared area of North Plaguelands for their starter zone. No epic ground form for druids, though they will get a new Dire Bear model and a new Dire Cat ability that'll be coming forth. Should be also very nice. I hope it's not just a feral 51-point talent. I hope it's actually all druids, because that would kind of suck for me. An exploration of the Kara animal boss was an easy fight or an easy kill that could be done without having to have the full 10 people. And here's a quotable line, other than, of course, that there were always gnomes in the cinematics. They were just too short to be seen. The quote here is, "Even though there will be a new tank class, all tank classes tank differently." And that's something that I think a lot of people should remember about the different tanking abilities in the World of Warcraft. I don't know how many of you are reading my blog, which is, again, The Abbey to Outlands. From The Abbey to Outlands. It's, I think, a good blog. Of course, I write it, so, you know, I probably would think it's great. But I blog my thoughts about World of Warcraft, about the game, about different aspects in the game. I had a series of articles recently that talked a bit about looking back at the past content we've had and looking forward to what we can look forward to in the new expansion. It was WOTLK upcoming, or Wrath upcoming. Looking back so we can begin to look forward. Zones that excite you. What part of the endgame excites you? What feature most interests you? And what will you do first? It's a very interesting series. It kind of goes into the different types of content that we can expect in the expansion, and you know, I want to see what people are excited about, what people are disappointed with having seen so far. Now that we have the information from the Invitational, I think that this could bring a lot more discussion to us, to our content, to our blogs, to our podcasts. So give me your thoughts. Send me a voicemail, send me your opinions, your thoughts. I didn't talk here about the PvP and the raid panels because, honestly, there's not overly much for me to talk about because I'm not overly much a raider or a PvPer. There were some interesting notes about the dungeon and raid panel that Blizzard wants to move towards non-linear dungeons. Like, if you look at a place like Ramparts, you know, you go in the front, you go follow this path. It's the same path every time. The only difference is, do you get to the demon boss first or do you get to the dragon first? So Blizzard wants to move away from that. They want a lot more information about that. Blizzard talked a fair bit about some of the dungeons that they're doing. Some of the previews of dungeons they gave were of Oculus, which is in the Nexus. It's a blue dragon-centric branch of dungeons. Very interesting, I think, because that'll also include stuff like dealing with the red dragons and the greens and all the other different dragons as we move towards that. They gave a preview of Old Strathholm, I believe it was Old Strathholm. The Caverns of Time one is what I'm referring to. They also did a fair bit of explaining their thinking of where dungeons are going, whether they're moving towards the different itemization for the normal and heroics, the different itemization for 10 and 25 mans, why they're doing a 10 and a 25 man, and they just gave an explanation of what their thinking is regarding raids and dungeons in this expansion. And just a point that is actually coming out today is a rumor that on Thursday, July the 3rd, we'll start seeing closed beta invites going out, and I hope to get into the beta at some point. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not, but that's about it for this show. I'm rambling a fair bit at this point. I wanted to thank the folks over at the Alpha Wiki. The last episode of All Things Azeroth received record numbers of listeners, record numbers of downloads, and I was really excited and really happy to see the numbers. Right now we're sitting at about 300 or 400 over the highest recorded episode count of listeners of any other episode of All Things Azeroth. I hope a lot of you will stick around listening to other episodes of All Things Azeroth, and hopefully we'll see more from you and hear more from you in the form of comments, questions, complaints, and criticisms in the form of emails, comments, and hey, I'll even take voicemails, recorded MP3s, or whatever. So thanks again for tuning in. Go to allthingsazeroth.com. Go to my blog at allthingsazeroth.com/medros. With a capital M, and, you know, just participate in the content, participate in what people are talking about, and we'll see if we can't get more information from Blizzard, and hopefully the next episode of All Things Azeroth will be just as interesting as this one. Thanks again for tuning in. Dig us, review us in iTunes, and all that good stuff. So take care, happy hunting, see you in Outlands, and even beyond. Oh, and happy Canada Day. This has been a Dwight Woolridge production, and as such is copyright 2007-2008 by Dwight Woolridge Productions. Please visit us at allthingsazeroth.com.